Welcome to St. Anne's Park today to the Rose Festival. This is Near FM in conjunction with Dublin City Council. And I have in front of me here Noel McAvoy, and he is the Executive Park Superintendent. Tell us a bit about the history of the park.
Well, it is a big park. It's 270 acres. Originally, it was 500 acres. The park was, it was the biggest property that the Guinnesses had in Dublin. Arthur Guinness and his brother Benjamin Guinness took a lease out on Thornhill House, which was where the original Guinness House was down at the end of the avenue in, 1835. And then 2 years later, they bought it. And then from then on, they bought up lands all around St. Anne's, the small St. Anne's, until they bought up to 500 acres. It was never given to them by the king. It was all money from the sale of Guinness.
Just a little bit of news there. Guinness have said they're going to build a new plant in Newbridge.
Okay.
And it's funny that they're doing it in Newbridge, that Guinness is originally from Kildare, from Leixlip.
Okay.
Because that's where the first brewery was in Leixlip.
I think it was because the water.
That's exactly it.
Exactly.
And the water from the Liffey, and I believe they still do. Well, they tell us they still do use it from the Liffey, and that's what gives it its black colour.
I wouldn't know. But it's a huge estate. In 1939, there was a compulsory purchase for the estate off the last, Guinness inheritance, and he was Bishop Plunkett, because Lord and Lady Ardilan, which would have been Arthur and Olive, that they're the Ardilans, they had no children, so the inheritance went to their cousin, who happened to be a bishop in the Church of Ireland. And in 1939, then he sold it to Dublin City Council, the corporation as it was known then. And then, of the 500 acres, they sliced off another 250 or so acres, and they went to build all the housing estates all around St. Anne's Park, Colester and Raheny. And when you're driving around here and you see all the big evergreen oaks in around the neighbourhood, you'll see them. That was the original estate. The trees were kept within the neighbourhood. And you'll see little properties, especially down in Raheny, little artisan red brick houses. They were originally in the park for the people who worked in the park.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that. I'm originally from Fairview.
All right.
And right beside Fairview.
Down the road.
The road, right beside Fairview, of course, was, what was his name, Lord Crofton.
Yes, that's right.
And you had Merino House and the casino. And that was all a big estate as well. And once again, given over to Dublin City Council. And that's where they built Merino back in the late 20s, early 30s.
That's right, yeah. The guy who went and designed Merino, I think he went off to Boston, and he designed parts of Boston. So, this part of Dublin has an awful lot of stories to be told about it.
It has indeed, and it's funny, they tried, after Merino, they tried to do something similar over the south side.
Right.
But, around Crumlin and Drimna.
Yeah.
But they did it on too large a scale.
Yeah.
And it lost that kind of garden city feel, because that's what it was originally, Marina was all being
that's
set up.
That's right.
It was a garden city.
It was following an English model. That's right. Marina.
Excuse me.
I know.
We'll say German.
German. Listen, I hear you. A big mistake. But Merino is very special because all the scale of it is quite unique. And we look after the Dublin City Council look after the green spaces down there. And we know that Merino, and a lot of people wouldn't know, that it is a very, very special example of really insightful city planning at the time.
Indeed. I always used to love walking around Merino, and every corner you turn, there's something different about the houses.
Yeah.
Whether it's a little round window.
That's right.
Whether it's it's kind of the Dutch style with the slates coming down to the front roof. There's something different about each one.
And if you ever notice that the corners don't come together as a right angle. There's always a house addressing out from the corner. And it's just fantastic. I can't understand why we never stole from some of those ideas and used them in further developments in Crumlin and places like that at the time.
And I think one of the things that the fears that happened was merino cost quite a lot.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Even though it got all the plaudits for being brilliant and all that, but it cost a bit much, so they started to pare back. Now, at one stage in my life, I worked within a property department with a large supermarket group, and that was always the thing that would happen, where someone would come up with a great idea, absolutely brilliant, and it would win awards, and then we're going to do loads more of them, and the next thing, there's a paring back. Yeah. What was it? The name that they had, it some form of engineering they called it, but it was basically taking out all the little bits that actually made it special.
Yeah. They won't pay for it.
That's the problem. But getting back to the park, we could talk about Dublin, all the different things.
Absolutely.
Getting back to the park. Within the park, there's so many different things within the park. One of my things is I'm a golfer. I love golf.
Nice.
And I hadn't known, but you have a little golf course here.
We do. We have a par 3 golf course here, and it's very, very popular. And it's a pay and play. You just come with your clubs and play. You don't have to. You don't have to be a member of anything. And it's a great starter course for people who really want to get into golf. You know. And we have a good crew who keep minding it. We get a lot of people using it, so we have to. It's a challenge because the carrying capacity of a small golf course can only take so much, but it's very, very popular. And we also have 32 football pitches. And you'll find the people who say, "Oh, I know St. Anne's," but they only know the football pitches because they spent all their teenage years playing football, you know. And then when you tell them, "Oh no, there's the Red Stables and there's the Parkland and there's the pond and there's the allotments and there's
the Rose Garden,"
exactly, which is and the Arboretum and the Physic Garden. There's loads, you know.
Yeah. And there's another one because I got cornered some time ago. I was at a wedding. And a gentleman cornered me, and because I knew some people in Dublin City Council, he asked me to try and find out what was happening in St. Anne's. Were they going to make a bowling green?
All right.
In St. Anne's.
Well, eventually there will be. We're looking at the old tennis courts will be revamped, and there is plans to put in a bowling green there. And it'll be interesting, you know, to see, like people say, well, you know, there's not a lot of people bowl. But once you provide the facility, you'll be surprised. Like we have the, what is it called, petanque, you know, that type of bowls, isn't that what they call it? And we have four or five, I suppose you call them pitches, I don't know what you call them. But they're always full of people. You'd be surprised, you know. I always think of it as something that you see in France. But you come here on a rainy morning, there'll be 6 or 7 people playing away. So I know if they put in a proper bowling green, you know, it'll be used, and we'll probably end up having to put in more than one.
Indeed, because the gentleman I was talking to, he is a member down in Iron.
All right, yeah, down
and
the road.
He was very positive towards us, and he was wondering, like, that Iron would get a foot in the door and maybe help set it up and possibly run
it. Well, we work with the community all the time, like the tennis courts, Rohini Tennis, Rohini Football, and that's what makes the park work. We don't exist in sort of grand isolation, you know. It's really a cooperation with everybody coming together to help it happen, because the council can't do it all. We can provide the canvas, we can provide the hall, but if we didn't have the people, the Irish Register of Herbalists looking after the Physic Garden, and there some of them are herbalists, biochemists, some of them are gardeners, we wouldn't have that skill base, and we wouldn't have the Physic Garden. And the same for the Little City Farm. The lady who look after that and the crew that look after that, they all have a background in farming. And the whole idea is to bring children and people to work in the farm, to engage in what you do to look after an animal, to feed it, to water, to look. It's not really a place where people go to pet animals. Now, they can, but that's not the whole idea of it. The whole idea of it is to introduce kids to the reality of farm life and what goes onto your plate. And we get a lot of kids who are doing a transition year who will work with the farm. And you'll see them out in the morning in welly boots sweeping out the stables. You know, I think they think they're going to be on some sort of film set, but they're just handed a brush and a shovel. But it's great.
That's what it's all about.
I
was very lucky as a young lad that my parents had a little summer cottage. It wasn't a cottage, it was a shack, little wooden chalet down just outside Greystones, about a mile outside Greystones, and it was right beside a farm. So during my summers I used to go down and work on the farm.
Great.
For a couple of months every year, and it was absolutely brilliant for a young lad from the north side of Dublin.
It's amazing. It's like the allotments, you know, and they're a great success, because everybody goes in there, and it doesn't matter if you're a banker or if you're a plumber. Once you go in there, they just talk about growing their cabbages and their onions. You know, it's a real leveller, you know.
Totally is. And we're going to be actually talking with Claire.
Right.
Later on.
Give you the lowdown.
Give us the lowdown. Because, once again, from my own experience, I'm from Phillipsburg Avenue.
Right.
And if anybody who knows Phillipsburg Avenue would know Fairview School in at the back. Now, they've changed it into a little playing field for the kids. But originally, when I was growing up, that little piece at the end of our gardens were set out in allotments.
Right.
And there must have been around 40 different allotments in there. And men would be in and out
working away, growing
their cabbage and things like that.
If people would realise, like I remember saying to somebody, you know, if you're working the allotment and your son is helping you out and he's 10, and maybe you only have the allotment for 4 or 5 years, by the time you're finished, he's 14, he's 15. That's a big chunk in a child's life.
And huge.
And it really does change point of view. And like they're very, very important, you know.
Indeed, and you know? Plus the thing is it as you were saying about it, the farm, it teaches children where the food comes from.
Absolutely.
How it grows, and the importance of, again, for the small things, making sure the soil is correct.
Exactly.
Which gives out to the bigger thing of why you have to look after the environment.
It's a very little thing, but it's very, very powerful.
Indeed.
You know, it really is, you know.
And I was going to say that you mentioned about the playing pitches. You know, we have a lovely sunny day here, and the people are all out in their fineries and so forth. But I remember when I was looking after a team with St. Vincent's, the kind of the under nines to under 14s, coming up in a cold February morning, setting up the nets up there, and you would see the amount of kids on a cold February morning who were out there playing football. It's like it'd be hundreds.
Oh, absolutely. Like it's a whole different world that goes on over on that side of the park, you know. And they would be vying for positions because they need to do a bit of training for a big match coming up. And then you're looking at lists saying, well, I can fit you in here and I can fit you in there. And then one club is getting really bitchy with another club, you know. But it's all part of the game, you know. And it's great colour, you know. And then we had a cricket people who want to play cricket. So we put the cricket crease between the soccer pitches, because we knew there'd be no soccer in the summer, so they could play cricket. So, and everybody knows that and work together, and they all get to know one another, you know. And it's good, you know.
Yeah, it's good, but they still love a good fight.
Oh, they do,
and
loads of rows, you know.
And what people don't realise, you had clubs like St. Oliver Plunkett's. For many, many years, they were based here.
Yep.
They had 1 3 for the away team and 1 3 for the home team to get changed.
Yeah.
And now they have their fancy.
Bit by bit, we get better and better. We had no money. Now, the pandemic has really proven what open spaces mean to people. And there is now a new understanding that if you want these open spaces to be useful, instead of just a big green patch in the landscape, you have to invest in them. And we want to be in a situation where we have anybody who comes to play a match has proper changing rooms and proper facilities. But there was other things that needed to be done. But we'll get there yet, you know.
Indeed. I know I'm taking up a load of your time.
No, you're grand.
What's your vision for the park? What would when you come to the end of your tenure?
Right.
What would you like to have, say, that's my...
Well, what I would like to say is that I left it better than I found it. I don't want to damage what's here, because what's here is very, very precious. And we're caught in a situation where we have the old Guinness estate, And there is one school of thinking that we should restore that, but when the council took it over, we hadn't a button. The country was on its knees. It did in the 30s. So the natural wildlife came back into the park, and we've got great environmental habitats down at the river, down by the sea. And if you want to go in and recreate Guinnesses, you're going to remove all that. So we have to find a middle way that we can let nature in, we can encourage biodiversity, and we can tip our hat towards the Guinness history of the place, but we still have to provide an amenity for the people. Because if you don't have the people in the amenity, sure, it's pointless. You know, like, we have a biosphere, and we protect all the land, all the animals and all the fauna and flora, as we should. But we're part of that biosphere too. We're a mammal as well. And if we don't get some sort of spiritual or enjoyment return out of it, it's all pointless. So it has to be of a gain. So when I leave here, I don't want anybody to say I broke it. I want it to be as good as I got it and better. And the simple things like the rose garden, I'd like that more and more improved. But who doesn't? The staff are always on my back about it, you know. They're saying, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? And that's the great thing about this place, you know. I don't have problems with the bosses. I have problems with the staff below me, because they're not happy. And they're telling me, we want to get this done. We have to get this done. And I mean, it's a perfect combination. But you're talking, this is a living thing of 270 acres, you know. So I just want to leave it to the rest of the nation a little better than when I got it.
Indeed, and I have to say, I've done a couple of walks with the likes of Aina Ní Leona.
Oh, Aina, yeah.
And just, you know,
yeah, she's
such, I'm going to use the word entertainer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she walks around and she has everything at her fingertips. She's done her homework, and she can pick out the smallest of little things.
Yeah. She's like, she's exactly as you meet her, you know, as you see her, that she is. I remember her in UCD when she was lecturing, you know, and she hasn't changed a bit. She's still full of energy, and she's still full of enthusiasm and heart, you know. It's great.
Indeed. And just, I'm going to finish off with, I'd like to say congratulations and well done to Dublin City Council, not just for St Anne's Park, but I do my golfing up in Sloge.
Oh yeah, that's us as well.
That's yourselves as well. And what I think is absolutely brilliant, they've improved the course, but what they've also done is they've left certain areas within the course, little patches of wild.
Yeah. Well, I think that's very important, because I think my uncles used them. My father used to play a big game of golf every now and again. And I remember when the rough was the rough.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've noticed that the courses are getting so groomed that it might as well be a snooker table.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And we have an opportunity in our golf courses to make our rough meadows. Because even in Scotland, some of the courses in Scotland are nearly wild looking, you know.
Well, it said definitely, you know, a lot of the links courses are.
More challenge in the game.
In actual fact, I've seen links courses in Scotland, and what they do is they actually put an electric fence around the green to stop animals going onto it.
Right.
Where they'd be grazing sheep
and
cattle.
Isn't it?
Yeah, brilliant. But that's what it traditionally would have been. It's going back to what it would have been, where someone went out and there was a big field there and they had a stick, a blackthorn stick with a knob on the end of it.
Well, see, this is it. Like, I always had a vision that the Arboretum, right, we have to look after that with meadows. I thought it would be a great idea if it was possible to let sheep in. But people look after you and say, yeah, you'll be ordering them the same sheep in the butchers every time you go.
Well, isn't it funny you should mention that? That one of the things that they're doing up on Howth Head to actually to save the environment up there, because they said if they put in sheep or ordinary goats, it'll be destroyed. But they're putting in the old Irish goats.
That's right.
The traditional goats from Ireland up there, who only eat certain pieces of it, and keep it down, and it won't go on fire.
And that would have been the tradition.
Yeah.
And it worked. And we're returning back to something that works. Yeah.
Yeah.
Once we don't find goat in the butchers, you know.
in the terrain. But that's going to be, you see, I'm a butcher by trade. That's my actual trade. So say nothing.
Yeah.
Move on quickly.
Yeah.
Noel, it's been an absolute pleasure talking
to you. It's been a delight talking to you.
Thank you
not
so much.
Take good care now.
And the best of luck with the festival. Take
care. Bye now.